Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study that we began last time entitled The Gifts of Miracles and Casting Out of Devils. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again we thank you for this opportunity to come together to study thy very words. Father, I pray your blessing upon our study today. I pray for the saint of God who is listening. I pray this study would build them up in the things of the faith, encourage them. Father, I pray that each saint of God would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, I also pray if there's a lost soul that's listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they would believe from the heart that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and that they would trust in only Jesus' shed blood to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and to secure them a home of heaven. Father, we pray. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Last time we started to look at the gifts of miracles and casting out of devils. And we saw last time how miracles are often linked to or identified as signs. And then we asked the question, what does the gift of working of miracles include? And we looked at the miracles of Mark chapter 16. We looked at the miracles performed by Jesus that were not one of the five signs of Mark chapter 16. And now I want us to pick up and let's look at the promise of the Gospel of John in chapter 14, verse number 12. Let's look there together. John chapter 14, verse 12. We read the following. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now some believers foolishly pull this verse from its context and attempt to apply it to themselves. However, the promise is clearly to the apostles and not to all Christians. The context is very similar to Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. In fact, the two passages were uttered by Jesus no more than a few weeks apart. In both cases, the apostles had not yet fully believed in Jesus. This promise was fulfilled during the ministry of the apostles in the early church. Proof that this verse was indeed intended for only the apostles can be seen in the book of Acts, where only the apostles and a select few that they had laid hands on were able to perform miracles. You see, the working of miracles was not the norm for all believers. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians together, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we want to look at verses 29 to 30. And we read the following. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Scripture clearly indicates that not all believers can work miracles. If all believers could perform miracles at will as promised to the disciples in John chapter 14, verse 12, then Paul could not have pointed to the working of miracles as a special sign of his apostleship, as he does in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. We read the following. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. As stated in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, miracles were granted by God as proof in confirmation that the new truths being preached by the apostles were indeed from Him. Now, let's go to Mark 16 again, and let's just refresh our memory of what it says there in verses 17 and 18. Mark 16, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, in verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Like all of the sign gifts, miracles, therefore, were used to confirm new truths, identify apostles, and convince unbelieving Jews that God was at work. Now, miracles performed, we want to look at miracles performed by the apostles that were not one of the five signs of Mark chapter 16. Notice the miracles that were performed by the apostles in the following passages. And we need to turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 9. The first one, the first place we want to look at is Acts chapter 9, verse number 40. We read the following. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. So here we see Peter raised a woman from the dead. Now turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 11. And we read the following. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Here we see that the Apostle Paul caused blindness in a man. And then we want to see Acts, turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 with me, verses 9 through 12. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. So here we see, Paul raised a young man from the dead. So we looked at some verses of Scripture that were performed, miracles that were performed by the apostles that were not one of the signs of Mark chapter 16. Now, we want to look at miracles versus the gift of miracles. Again, we're going to look at miracles versus the gift of miracles. Now, the gift of the working of miracles appears to be the ability to produce a miracle. Other than healings or tongues as mentioned, by the power of God at any time when the occasion warranted. Such miracles were signs used to identify apostles, confirm new truths as being from God, and to convince the Jews that God was at work. As a sign gift, the gift of working of miracles has ceased. The proof? Challenge one who claims this gift to produce a miracle. Now, miracles in general, however, are an entirely different matter. God is still a miracle working God and can intervene in the affairs of men by an act of his sovereign will or in response to prayer. God still can and does produce miracles today, but not through miracle workers. You see, carnal Christians tend to forget that such basic things as salvation, the power to live a victorious Christian life, and answered prayer are all miracles that God still performs today. Carnal Christians tend to walk by sight instead of by faith, and often fail to appreciate these unseen miracles. God also miraculously intervenes in our lives to protect us, help us, and to comfort us in a myriad of ways that fulfill his promises. Miracle-working apostles may be no more, but these miracles, directly from him, without the aid of man, have not ceased. Now let's turn our attention and look at miracles and the last days. Miracles and the last days. The Bible makes it clear that at the end of the church age and on into the tribulation, the miracles and signs that will be seen on earth will not, again, I say, will not be from God. Notice with me as we turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Matthew 24, verse 24. Notice what the Word of God says. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Turn with me and look with me in 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, in verses 8 through 12. We read the following. And then shall that wicked, and that's a reference to the Antichrist, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, we're looking at miracles in the last days. We're seeing what the Word of God, the very words of God, say about miracles in the last days. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 14. And we read the following. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, let's look at the special case. The special case of casting out devils. There is little doubt from Scripture that Satan is a real being and the enemy of all that God stands for. Satan and his devils have been opposed to the work of God from the beginning and are just as alive and active in this present age as they have ever been. Thus, opposing Satan and his devils is a necessary fact in the life of the believer. However, there are some factions within the charismatic movement that place an emphasis upon spiritual warfare that goes far beyond the simple teachings of the Word of God. And with that, we want to first take a brief overview of demonology. Yes, a brief overview of demonology. First of all, we want to look at the origin of devils. Demons are angels that followed Satan in his rebellion and are always referred to in the King James Bible as devils, or as unclean spirits, and never by the term demon. In Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9, we read the following. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Next, we want to look, as we're doing a brief overview of demonology, the nature of devils. Well, first of all, they are spirit beings without physical bodies. Look with me, if you would, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 24, we read the following. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house, whence I came out. We're looking at the nature of devils. They are spirit beings without physical bodies. Number two, they have intelligence and personality. Look with me, if you would, in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verses 9 through 10. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. As we look at the nature of devils, the third thing we want to see is they have great strength. Again, in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 2 through 4, we read the following. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, nor could any man tame him. Now, the last thing we want to see as we look at the nature of devils is they are unclean and evil. Again, the nature of devils, they are spirit beings without physical bodies. They have intelligence and personality. They have great strength. They are unclean and evil. Again, as we're doing a brief overview of demonology, we want to look at the activities of devils. The activities of devils. First of all, they help Satan control this evil world. They help Satan control this evil world. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. We read the following. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, we're looking at the activities of devils. Number two, they oppress and hurt men. They oppress and hurt men. Turn to the Gospel of Mark with me in chapter number 9, and we'll look at two verses, 17 and 22. And one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire, and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." As we look at the activities of devils, the third thing we want to see is they possess some people. They possess some people. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, we read the following. "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way." The fourth and final thing as we look at the activities of devils is they teach. They teach false doctrine. And we need to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. We read the following. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now we turn our attention and we want to look at casting out devils is a miraculous ability from God. Casting out devils is a miraculous ability from God. First of all, we want to see casting out devils is one of the five miraculous signs of an apostle. Casting out devils is one of the five miraculous signs of an apostle. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, we read the following. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Second, we see that casting out devils was a special ability given by Jesus to his apostles. Casting out devils was an special ability given by Jesus to his apostles. We read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the following. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And then in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, we read the following. "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." Well, we're just about out of time here on the Pastor Study. Next time, we'll continue our study on the gifts of miracles and casting out devils. Just a reminder to my listeners, this study and any study on the Pastor Study is available on CD. Just request a study. You'll be given the address at the end of the broadcast. Just send your request to me and I'll get it out to you right away. Again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri, thanking each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study today. Until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.